Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, May 3rd. We're back here with you. Tori's out today, but I'm joined by a very special guest co-host whose name is Kay Brand.
Good morning. Welcome to the show, Kay.
Kay has been on the show a couple times recently, so you guys can find out all about her if you go back a couple weeks and listen to the interviews. We're not going to go over everything that you've done because we're not going to say things we already said.
Right.
But tell people a little bit just what it is that you do on a daily basis. What keeps you busy and happy?
I'm an adult filmmaker, award-winning adult filmmaker, and a best-selling author of erotic fiction and also horror.
You're a horror also?
H-O-R-R-O-R.
Horror?
Horror.
Oh, okay. Yes. What does that mean?
What do you mean?
Horror?
Well, okay. It's just a genre.
Oh, okay. I don't know anything about
spooky,
that.
Spooky, scary, more violence.
Oh, horror.
Yeah, horror.
Horror.
H-O-R-R-O-R.
Okay. Yeah. Don't they say horror? I don't know. Whatever. But, yeah, I thought you said H-O-R-E-R. I'm like, what?
No,
yeah,
no,
okay, okay.
No.
Horror. So you write scary stuff.
I do.
Wow. So how did you get into writing? I mean, what's that about? How do you get into writing, like, professionally?
There was an evil fairy that waved a wand over me as a child and cursed me with the
You're going to be into sex and more and more and more. Wow. So that's pretty cool. As you were growing up and developing, did you feel you were sexual more than others, or was it just normal?
I have no idea because I've never talked to another person about how they were as a child as far as sexually or what they were thinking sexually, but I do think it's a natural thing for children to be sexually curious.
Right. I'm not talking children, though. I'm talking more like teenage years, maybe, or something.
I don't know. You know, like, I was a teenager in the 80s, and we were all insane.
Right.
We didn't have social media. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have cell phones.
Right.
So what we had was insanity.
Exactly. A lot of dope and sex.
We could go crazy. Crazy, and nobody knew.
Yeah, right?
Except for the people that were with you that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, or whatever. You know, like, it was a crazy time. It was a totally different. But I always felt drawn to more forbidden or taboo stories. There were a lot of filmmakers in the 1980s that were pushing the boundaries. And I remember the first time I saw The Last Tango in Paris, and I just was awestruck.
Was a very sensuous movie, right? With Marlon Brando. And
dark and dramatic and had some heavy psychological shadings to it. So I was always drawn to that. Never just sex.
Really?
Never just,
wow.
I mean, yeah.
That's interesting, though, you know, because I'm, I don't know, I like... I mean, I don't participate in more than just plain vanilla sex. And vanilla sex can take many forms, which is great, but I never really explored, you know. So sometimes
beyond
I wonder.
Beyond vanilla? Or
beyond vanilla. So I don't know if I'm really, like, missing out on something, you know. S&M thing never appealed to me for some reason.
But that doesn't have to be the only thing that you can explore, you know.
Right.
I mean, I think one of the first things that people do to explore things is just push the boundaries of where they actually have sex.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then maybe role-playing or something, right?
You can role-play. But, I mean, for me, role-playing always made me laugh more than it did turn me on. I'm way too serious of a person to, like, play act like that. I just can't do it.
I never tried it. I wonder how it would be, you know? Just like, you know, if you pretend you're a doctor or something, you know?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It's funny. I mean, it just depends on what your tolerance level is for that type of ridiculousness.
I know.
It's all fantasy play. But I'm talking about, like, expanding your boundaries by going from the bedroom to having sex in the bathroom or the kitchen or the hallway or
that's
the living
true.
Room.
That's unusual.
Or out on your balcony, privately, finding ways to do it, you know.
Don't do it
the
same
car,
all the time,
finding,
right?
Yeah. You know, create a hotel weekend and make it romantic and specifically just just to explore sex in another environment.
Yeah, so yeah.
That's your first step to getting away from basic vanilla.
That's true, right? And then you're willing to be more adventurous or something. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's all you need to spice it up.
Right.
You know, like, we don't have to be insane. We don't have to be troublemakers just to have sex that is not deemed vanilla.
Right, that's true. But what's interesting, you know, when you look at like fetish and stuff like that, you know, like S&M and so forth, you have a power game there, right? It's more than just sex. It's about about domination, about power of the other person.
Yes,
things like that, right? Because sometimes there's not even a lot of sex involved in that.
That's true. Sometimes it is just about the role playing as and, you know, being what each person is getting out of the scenario.
Right.
So, but that's something that, you know, there's something called switches. And I think switch is probably far more common than being a dom or a submissive. Because
oh, really? So people switch roles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
There's not, like, I think it's less common for individuals to identify completely with one side or the other. I think it's far more common to be a switch, to have a mood or to have a passion or a want to be in a dominant position or be in a submissive position. But to only be one thing is so specific that you have to know yourself 100% backwards and forwards to know that that's who you are.
Right.
And that's how you enjoy and get the most out of your sexual expression and experience.
Right. Very interesting,
yeah.
You know. So you got to be open-minded, you know, because, and I feel also, you know, I mean, sexuality for me was always very important. I didn't know why, but I was, as a kid, I was already exploring, you know, 5-6 years old, we were playing doctor and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And I was very curious at an early age. I also, you know, we were like, when I was a teenager, we would like shoplift books and stuff so we could read erotica like
right,
you write.
Right.
Because that was the only thing I haven't had access to in some magazines or something, you
know.
But that was it. So, so I always had that, desire in me, you know, to explore more. And I think it made me a better lover as a result, you know.
I think what you're saying, though, is incredibly common to the human condition. I think most men and most women feel that way. We're just not allowed to express
that. To express it, right?
And that's unfortunate, which is where the adult industry gains its power, because it would not be as popular as it is if there wasn't a tremendous need for the material.
Ah,
do you know what I'm saying? If
very
nobody
true.
Needed it,
right.
Then there it wouldn't be there.
Right.
But it fills a need. It fills a gap in society and human nature that we don't feel. And that's all. We have created this whole thing of brainwashing, that we are not supposed to be open about our sexuality, that we are not supposed to openly express our sexual needs or how we feel or our passions. And people who do are always seen as rebels.
Right.
They're renegades. They're out there pushing boundaries. And the only thing that we're doing is just saying that it was a conscious choice to say, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. And I've come to a place of peace with it.
Yeah.
And it would be awesome if other people could do the same thing and do it in a healthy way.
Right. Now, do you think that this comes from religion, from culture?
Yes.
Yeah?
100%.
It's the upbringing.
But our entire, I mean, if you really want to get philosophical about all this, our entire condition, the entire, every way that we live is because we've been taught that this is the way to do it by whoever.
Right. But that's the thing, and that brings us to the question of morality, which I started yesterday, you know, and talking about, you know, where do we get our ideas? You know, how do we know that murder is wrong?
Right.
You know, how do you know that murder is wrong?
Right.
Right.
Well, in the animal kingdom, it is not wrong.
But they don't murder.
It's,
you know, they eat. There's a certain reason they kill. They kill to eat. But we don't. I mean, we kill
to
eat
too. Or to protect their territories.
Right. But for humans, we know it's not okay to murder. How do we know that?
Well,
you know? So it comes because you know, because they taught us that, but no, because we get our morality.
Self-control is something that humans only understand.
Right.
I mean, really, you know.
Right. But it's not even self-control so much as that. I mean, it's self-control if you know it's wrong, you know. But the question is, why is it wrong? You know, right. Where did we get that idea? Is it like built in, or is it like because we feel that's what it is, mm-hmm. and that's the way it should be?
Well, we went from caveman to here we are now in 2017. There was a lot of evolution that happened in our species in between then.
Right.
And cavemen did kill for territory, I'm sure. I mean, I didn't know any of them personally, but I'm sure.
But maybe they didn't feel they were wrong. Maybe they didn't feel it was wrong, morally wrong.
Exactly. But in society, see, the thing is that it's not even a murder situation or is killing wrong. It's that most everything that humans are allowed to do is abused. Mm. If we're allowed to abuse it, we'll abuse it. There's very few people that have the ability to self-control without being told right or wrong, I think. Yeah. You know, I'm talking about like alcohol.
So you told right
whatever.
Or wrong, and who tells us that?
You know,
who
this society. Is? So it always goes, it doesn't necessarily
yeah, but where does society get it mm-hmm. from? It always goes back to God and the Bible and stuff, you know?
Well,
that's
what
it comes down to. That's why I don't think it's a bad thing to have God in your life. If you don't let religion, if you don't follow like sheep, then there's nothing wrong with belief and faith because that keeps people from killing,
right?
From raping.
Well,
from
we do
doing
have to be.
In,
yeah, we have to be an orderly society, or else we can't survive. The only way for us to really have grown and evolved as a species is to become orderly,
right?
And have an organized way of living. And and for the most part, we're very, very good at obeying,
right?
Which is interesting. You know, social media has given birth to a golden era of speaking one's mind.
Yeah, that's true. And we'll get back to that.
Okay.
I just wanted to introduce and tease our upcoming guest. She's going to be on the phone, and we're going to talk about innovative stuff and that. So that sounds very interesting. Something that's aimed at women, by women, and it's really cool. So I just wanted you guys to know there's going to be a call coming in a few minutes. The social media thing. The narcissism, right? I mean, it just goes to the surface. It's not that it hasn't been there, right? It's always been there.
Yeah.
It's just that now people are free to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, selfie is the ultimate narcissism, right? Because you're assuming I want to see your picture. And I don't. You know, I don't really care about you that much. And if you want me to see a picture, then have somebody take a decent picture. But no, that's not what the point is that, or people do like, I don't know, Facebook Live and stuff. I know you were doing that also. But again, I think it's like, you know, people trying to become celebrities, right?
Right.
On their own, you know.
Well, everybody can be now.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
YouTubers.
You know? I mean, I've got this guy. I can't get over this. We had a guest about maybe a couple months ago. This guy from, I don't remember where he was from, but he does a character called Southern Mama. Okay? Now, this guy's like probably 30 years old, something. Kind of long hair to his shoulders. Very nice guy.
Okay.
And so he does this character called Southern Mama. Now, he doesn't dress like a woman. He doesn't. He just does like.
It's a voice.
Yeah, it's a voice.
Okay.
And himself, too. I mean, the way he looks and the way he talks, his facial expressions and stuff, you know?
Funny.
Millions. Millions of fucking viewers. I mean, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
You know, he's like 9 million views over a few days. I mean, what is that?
Well, I mean, some of the biggest YouTubers, some of the most popular and most successful that actually make a good living on YouTube. This one guy, I can't remember his name. He's an Asian guy, and his dog. He's got like a little Yorkie or something, or a Corgi.
And people like that stuff.
And it's just him and his dog. It's just videos of him and his dog, or his dog. And millions and millions and millions of hits. I mean, then there's the whole phenomena of makeup artists who have their own channels, and fitness professionals who have their own channels, and millions and millions of hits. And it's opened up. You know, everything is at our disposal. I try to, you know, anybody who wasn't around in the 80s. 90s has no idea about what it means to go fetch information as opposed to it being at your fingertips. We had to go and search.
Exactly. Go to the library, ask, call.
Yeah.
The
process
everything.
Was so much slower to be able to do business even.
Right. I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like if you bought software, you bought it in a box with this. If there was a problem with it or, you know, a bug or something, you'd have to call them. They'd send you a disc.
Yeah.
You have to wait for this. Today, you solve it in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, here comes our guest. So let's go ahead and take that. And we're going to be joined by our guest. Bevan, are you there?
I am here, Sam. Hello.
Yes, good, good. Am I pronouncing your name correctly, Bevan?
You are.
Okay, Bevan Muckford, right?
That is correct.
Okay, good. I always want to make sure because, you know, you get the names in writing and sometimes you're not sure about the pronunciation and stuff. By the way, Bevan, I'm sitting here with Kay this morning, not Tori. So just so you know who you're talking to.
Hi, Bevan.
Wonderful. Good morning, Kay. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So you call us about what it is that you do. You guys have an organization, a company, a website. It's called Peach. Why don't you tell us a little bit what it is that you guys do, and why we would want to go there?
Thank you so much. I would love to. So okay. Peach is a Boston-based, so we're over on a different time zone from you. I've finished my lunch, and I'm enjoying my afternoon already.
Good,
and
good.
We are a fashion brand that is building mission first, an opportunity for women to put on clothing so that when they look in the mirror and they see themselves, instead of those awful voices in our heads that we often hear in the three-way mirror that with the overhead fluorescent lighting that says, you know, I'm not thin enough, I shouldn't have eaten that donut, I should have gone to the gym to work out today, oh my gosh, I'm awful. We take women out of that fitting experience in the dressing room, and we do it in the comfort and privacy of a home, person-to-person selling. So we are a social commerce company bringing women fashion in the home. Wow. So think of athleisure, that clothing that everyone wants to wear right now because it's so comfortable and I can literally wear it to my yoga class in the morning. Just change my shoes and maybe throw on a jacket and I can still wear the same outfit out to my luncheon with my girlfriends. That's what our brand is, athleisure. And then we have women that are selling this brand with us who are independent entrepreneurs bringing this brand to their friends, to their to their relationships out in the world. And so we are here to help women feel beautiful.
Wow.
And our top line mission is to be a force for good to help women thrive. How's that for a mouthful?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I mean, you're obviously to make the world a better place, and we appreciate this. Now, so you have a very unique distribution channel, you know, I mean, you're making it not just a way to sell things, but actually to consult people, come to their home and give them a personal service.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's very, very innovative. So
it's right. And one of the thoughts about that, Sam, if I may, is that we all would love the opportunity to have a personal wardrobe stylist, somebody to come in and look at us and tell us what would work for us. Most of those services cost upward of $100 an hour to have someone come in and consult, never mind what might be the additional purchase on top of that for the clothes that they recommend. What we do is provide that consulting service as part of our experience. There's no additional charge for the consulting service to look at somebody and help her figure out what is best for her.
Hmm.
You just pay for the clothes that you end up loving and buying with
Amazing.
Your consultant.
That's awesome.
Your
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That I mean, that's very clever, you know, because once you get into a person's home or something, you know, you sold them, you know.
Definitely.
You're not going to leave there without them buying something,
yeah.
You know. So it sounds good. And that's the thing. Yeah, I would love very much a personal, you know, stylist to tell me what I should wear or what I shouldn't. But because you get another, you know, an expert set of eyes, you know. And all that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So
we often in the mirror are our own worst critics.
Right.
And if you can have that outside professional say to you, you know, settle down there, stop looking at those imperfections, and let me show you how to dress to either not feel those imperfections or not pay attention to them, then that really helps with the whole self-esteem issue. I mean, we are, when we look in the mirror, how we look in that moment often dictates how we run our day. I feel like my hair looks great. I feel like my clothes look great. I'm ready to take on the world. If I look in the mirror and I think, you know, I'm just feeling frumpy and heavy and ugly, then I'm not so well positioned to take on the world. And for good or for bad, our mirror kind of sets our mood. And so we're all about having that mirror set your mood in the right way because your clothes are fitting and you're feeling fantastic.
You remind me of a television show that I used to love called What Not to Wear.
Yes.
Sounds
yes.
A good name.
That
in
was
fact,
an
In fact, funny enough that you say that. The one of our wardrobe stylists, she's actually a wardrobe stylist in life, and she's a peach stylist as well. She used to work as a consultant on the show What Not to Wear. So you are very close to the reality of what we do for women day in and day out.
Yeah, it was a wonderful concept, the whole idea of taking women regardless of their body shape and type. And most of the women that were on the show were not in good shape or not in athletic shape. And we're not feeling good about themselves and had very low self-esteem. And that show just turned everything around for them and taught them how to dress, taught them what to do when they went to stores and looked for it. So how are your dressers trained?
That's a great question. So my role is head of field development, which really has two sides of it. One is I talk to the women who are interested in joining us and building the brand, and we figure out if there is a good match for them, for us, and us for them. So that's half of what I do. The other half of what I do is take them through onboarding, training, and leadership development. So everything that you need to be successful with us, you learn once you are part of our stylist community. And I will tell you, the vast majority of women who are with us representing this brand, they are not retail professionals. They are not stylist professionals. They are not coming out of fashion retail.
Wow.
But what is consistent amongst our stylists is that there is this drive to serve other women. And I know that's kind of a weird way to phrase it, but if you think about it for a minute, if we are to be truly a force for good to help women thrive, then what our stylists need to have, honestly, is a love for that woman standing in front of her who may feel really vulnerable about how do I dress and how can I look good. And our stylists know how to make those connections, those relationships that allow women to just relax and then engage in the process of saying, it's okay to look in the mirror and feel good about yourself. It's okay to look in the mirror and feel strong and beautiful. There's nothing about who you are that you should feel like you're not enough. And that's one of the things that our CEO, Janet Krauss, often says when she's giving speeches. She's an amazing, inspirational Harvard Business School professor of entrepreneurship, as well as our CEO. And she says, you are enough. Stop those voices in your head. Stand up tall, because when you stand up tall, you can go out and conquer the world. So our stylists really come with a love of caring for other women, not necessarily a professional background in fashion retail. We give them everything they need to know to be successful.
So you're talking about internal, more like life coaching and internal fixing.
And that's part of when we talk about our mission, and we're a mission first company to be a force for good, for help women to help women thrive. There are really a few activation pathways. Number one is our fantastic clothing that fit and flatter and make you feel good when you look in the mirror. The second part of what we do is really double down on entrepreneurship. We believe that entrepreneurship is the single most powerful way for women to get after their dreams, to live into their purpose, to live into meaning. And so, yes, every stylist with us, she's an entrepreneur. The second way that we do that, though, is we actually curate finish the look accessories. So all those looks you want out there, whether it's jewelry or a scarf or a hat or a shawl, all of these fun finish the look accessories, we actually curate those from other female entrepreneurs who are building brands out there, fighting the good fight every day to get their products into the hands of women. And sometimes you just can't get the audience if you're a little retailer, right, you're a little e-commerce brand.
Right.
And so we bring them in and give them a pathway to bring their products to community of women.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So you guys can go to the website. It's discoverpeach.com, and the company's Peach.
Yeah.
You can find a stylist if we turned you on enough to one, and or become a stylist, right? I mean, people can go on your website and actually become stylists and do this for other women as well.
Absolutely. It's a ground floor opportunity. We've been around for just about 2.5 years. Again, Boston-based. We have stylists in 44 states, so we don't even have all of the United States covered yet.
Wow.
And for a very minimal investment in starter samples, you have the opportunity to build your own, we call it your own personal boutique. You get a little pop-up shop in your home or taking on the road to share with other women. So very small investment to open up the world of entrepreneurship.
Sounds good. And I presume you don't take any men to become stylists, right?
Well, I can tell you, one of the products we do sell intimates, bras and panties, the foundation layer for our women. And we've had more than one man say, oh, could I just sell that part of your product?
Exactly. And I'll sell, and I'll sell it for free, too.
Exactly. Exactly. We have had that offer many times, Sam. You've got it.
I'm sure. And most importantly, people can go on your website and actually shop for stuff as well. You have beautiful clothes, and more than just clothes. I see you have jewelry as well, and you know, a lot of cool stuff, you know. So I really recommend people to go out here and check it out. And of course, the way you market this and distribute this is really unique. And I can see how people get into this, you know.
Definitely.
How women can feel that, hey, I can be in this community with other women, and they actually will actually look out for me in the way I dress and everything, and I come across. So it's and it's about attitude. You see, I mean, Bevan's telling us it's you know, you got to feel good to go out there and achieve
Absolutely.
What you want, you know.
It's completely true. And one of the one of our leadership development programs that we share internally and also externally, we call it the ABCs of confidence. And one of the critical components of the ABCs of confidence, the A portion, which is act, it's all about how you act the way you want to feel. And some of the ways that you can act the way you want to feel is dress for the occasion. You know, stand up tall, take up more space in the room. It's been proven. Well, you can stand up tall and take up more space in the room if what you're wearing makes you feel good. You just stand up taller. And of course, it doesn't hurt to throw on a pair of, you know, 6-inch heels, and then you really take up more space in the room and you're ready to act and
right.
take on the world.
Yeah. Well, sounds good. So we can go to discoverpeach.com, like I said, and you guys can find out a lot more. Bevan Mugford, tell people how they can. So you're in Boston, right? That's where you're based?
Yes, the company is Boston-based. My particular role, because I do field development, it doesn't matter where I live. I actually live in Connecticut. I'm on the road 50% of the time, traveling across the country to train our stylists, give presentations on how to work with our products, and also the leadership development we were talking about. We share that externally with our clients as well. We do believe if we're really going to be true to our mission to be a force for good, to help women thrive, we need to share all of this powerful learning about standing up straight, ABCs of confidence, all of that good stuff. So we take that on the road as well to share with women. And we love to travel the world talking about supporting one another, because truly, when women support one another, we're not going to be kept away from that table. We're not going to be shut out of those rooms.
That is for sure.
We'll be up there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. And, you know, I mean, and I'm reading here your you lead over 500 stylists, so it's not just something new. I mean, obviously, you guys are established already. Women that want to be stylists would be joining a team that already exists.
It's caught on.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And going back to the earlier part of our conversation, you don't have to have specific experience. What I usually say for women when they're trying to figure out, is this a match? I say, okay, there are three questions. And these, I call them mirror questions, because you gotta look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself honestly these three questions. One is, do you have a passion for our mission? You can hear it in my voice. You can hear it in what I've said. We are all about supporting other women. So do you have a passion to be a force for good with us? If that's a yes, then you put a check mark there. You're ready. Second piece, do you have an entrepreneurial drive? The women who are building this brand with us, they are entrepreneurs. They are getting complete protection by Peach, the home office. We give them all the training they need. We give them all the support they need. But they're out there making it for themselves how they want to make it. They're an entrepreneur. So do you have that drive? Have you wanted to make something for yourself? And then the third question, and if that's a yes, put a second check mark. And then the third question is, do you have 3 to 5 hours a week available to build your Peach business? Now, those 3 to 5 hours, they don't have to be contiguous. You could find 30 minutes there, 45 minutes there, 10 minutes there. But do you have 3 to 5 hours a week to build this business. And if you can look at your week and say, yes, I do have that, you know, 2 hours on the weekend, 1 hour after work, then put a check mark there. And in that moment, that's when I say to women, we want you. So, this is a match. You've got the three key questions checkmarked. Now let's talk about how we begin this journey together.
Sounds turnkey for the right woman who's looking for an opportunity like this. It just sounds...
Like a small business or something.
Yeah, definitely.
That they can start for themselves. Bevan, sounds great. So people can get in touch with you through the website, I presume, right? Are you guys on social media too?
Yes, we're on social media. Our social media handle is called With Love Peach.
Okay.
And then our discoverpeach.com. You can go in there and we have lots of links you can click to learn more about becoming a client, learn more about becoming a stylist. And we have a wonderful support team in the back office that will receive your inquiry and direct you in the right direction, either to connect to a local stylist near you to go through a peach experience or to connect you to a leader in our organization to talk to you about joining us as a stylist.
Sounds great. Bevan Muckford, Head of Field Development for Peach. Everybody go check out the site again, discoverpeach.com. Bevan, thank you so much. Much more success to you guys. And if I was a woman, I'd be interested. But hey, you locked me out of the outside the door. I can't get in.
You can always shop for the women in your life. We'll take you as a client to shop for the women in your life.
Sounds good. And you can go on the website and, of course, shop for a lot of things. So that's cool, too. Bevan, thank you so much for joining us this morning and all the best to you.
Thank you so much. Likewise.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. People do all kinds of interesting things, you know. I mean, and we were just talking about technology and the internet right before she called. And it's changed the world in the way that I think it's empowered people to do things on their own, you know, to do things by themselves.
Well,
I mean, that's what I've done. I remember when, do you remember when desktop publishing came out? That was like, we started doing graphic design on the computer, laser printers came out.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. That was like in the 80s, you know? And I remember, I'm like, wow, I don't need a graphic designer. I don't need to take it to the printers anymore. I can
do it
all myself. Mm-hmm. I also did that with computer animation back in 1990. I discovered it and I thought I can start a business.
Right.
And I did. And then, of course, other things that I've done, online marketing and so forth, and then the radio station.
Right, and the radio station.
So these things are all, they empower you to do things you couldn't do
yourself.
Building blocks. You know, Photoshop lets you be like a professional designer. You know, all you have to do.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It definitely does. It empowers somebody sitting with their computer who has an interest and a bit of talent to actually grow that talent. But, you know, this thing with Peach is that... it just all goes back to, you know, like companies like Avon and Mary Kay and...
Right, different kinds of distribution, right?
And, yeah, I mean, you're looking at its base format, a business started to let everyday people, somebody who thinks that they can never actually do anything but the job that they're doing, whether it's satisfying or not, to actually venture off in a side business of their own and try to make something of it. And that's the American dream.
Right. And I know many women love to dress other women, you know, like they used to dress their dolls and stuff, you know.
For me, I like to undress
other women.
They
like to dress men, too. You're funny.
That's true.
Wow. Do you, so do you like women too? I mean, have you been with women sexually and stuff?
A million years ago.
Reason I'm asking this is because you've done a lot of erotica and films on lesbians, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So what's the appeal there for you? I mean, why did you focus on that?
Because the first job that I received in the film and in the adult film industry was working for Girlfriends Films, which is a lesbian only company. All their material is just women.
Right.
And
but is it not really aimed at at lesbians, it's more men, right?
Well,
right.
I mean, porn in general is aimed at men.
Is aimed at men,
right.
But I'm just saying. I mean, if this company calls itself Girlfriends and it's only lesbian, I mean, do you think that a lot of lesbians consume it too?
I definitely know that they do.
Right.
I connected with many of them on the company forum when I was directing for them, and but they're just not in. As far as the vastness, I'd say it's still about 60% men, 40% women.
Oh, really?
Who are consumers. So, unless they're, independently, but as a couple.
Right.
You know, as a male-female couple or woman-woman couple, they're more apt to buy as a couple and create a new ratio from the 60-40. I'm talking 60 independently men, 40 independently
right.
women.
I would think it's so much more men. I thought like porn is probably 90% men, you know. But
and I think that it was for many, many years, but there's definitely
but
been a shift.
But it's changed now.
Yeah.
Because women can watch it freely and privately. Nobody knows.
Well, and going back to what Bevan was saying, it's about female empowerment. And that's part of my mission and part of my purpose in staying in the adult industry now, and the films that I'm making and that the films that I choose to make are all geared towards a female empowerment. And that's my stance on social media too, which is it's not just about getting on the microphone or getting on Twitter or posting on Facebook and saying, look at me, I'm amazing, I'm empowered, I'm all that, because so much of that is crap.
Right.
You know, most of us, when you get off of social media, are messes. You know, we're not really, we're barely functioning
people. We have perfect
people.
Lives We've, on Facebook,
yeah,
right?
I mean, Bevan's talking about looking in the mirror and feeling great, because most of us look in the mirror and go, ew. You know, like what am I going to do with this mess of a life that I've created? And, you know, and the roll the joint and pour the wine, because that's all that's going to get you through that day. You know, well, this is why therapy is a multi-billion-dollar business, because everybody needs somebody to talk to.
Right.
So part of the peach business that Bevan was talking about, when you step outside of the entrepreneurial aspect of it and building a base of sales professionals or dressers who have their own business, part of that is just being able to reach out and connect with another person. Is actually paying for somebody to come into your house. Because when I brought up the point about internal, you know, they're not just saying, okay, let's look in your closet, now I'm going to take you shopping. Which what they're saying is, we're offering you a bit of therapy with this as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what we need somebody to come in and say, it's okay. You know, Louise Hay.
Yeah.
You know, the great affirmation speaker and writer. I love her. I get her emails every couple of days, and I'm always going to her website and checking out what new affirmation, because when I get into a negative mental pattern, which happens frequently, and most creative people, most artists end up in a situation where they feel emotionally void or unbalanced or unclear about their world and their purpose and why they're here, because it's a very bizarre thing to create a business around what's happening inside your head.
Yeah.
Especially when what's happening inside your head is erotica.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of it goes on
right
in your head. Yeah. I know. And it's very distracting, you know, because you know, I don't know. I think it's pretty common for men, though, to be distracted. And for women, too, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you get distracted by sexual thoughts throughout the day, all the time, right?
Yes.
Yeah, wow. So maybe that's why, like, movies like 50 Shades were so popular, because it allowed women to actually express what they only feel, right?
Yeah, well, there's so little of erotica being featured in mainstream anyway. It's always like a big movie with a sex scene in it somewhere,
right?
And you get and everyone loves those fucking scenes.
Exactly.
I don't care what anybody says. That's bullshit. You know, like, you go home and you VOD that movie, or you get it on DVD, and you could watch that sex scene over and over, and you may forget the rest of the plot, but you'll remember
that,
what they were doing in that bedroom. And that's the thing, is that we all love sex. We all want sex. We just don't know how to talk about it, how to approach it. You know, Dr. Ruth.
Right.
You know, it took a woman like her, who was so unintimidating and easy to connect with.
A short Jewish grandmother. For those of you who don't know who Dr. Ruth is, if you're too young, right?
Right.
She was a sex expert. She would be on TV all the time.
Yep.
She had this German accent that she would talk. She's Israeli. So the Israeli and German accents made her very funny. But she was freely talking about sex.
Orgasms
and masturbation.
And actually, I was I spent 2 days at the Sexual Health Expo in January, and I was offering private talks and reading from my books and all that. And she was the mistress of ceremony.
Really?
She came in.
So she's still around.
Yeah. Oh, she's little and old now. Yeah. She's like in her 90s.
She's gonna be very old.
Yeah. And she was always little, but she's even smaller now. But she was so cool. She's a little out of step with the times.
Yes, I would imagine.
And we all felt fairly compassionate for that. But at the Sexual Health Expo, there were a lot of adult stars that were there and had booths. And so for us to have to listen to her saying about how it's not, you know, most porn now is just about men coming on a woman's face. And we were all kind of like, well, that's okay. Let's just let Dr. Ruth have that moment, because it's not. Porn nowadays, and especially not the porn that I make, has anything to do with that.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's more like stories, and you don't get into the details like that?
Everything I make is based on a story.
Right.
Everything I've ever made is based on a story.
Yeah, and that's what people love. They love stories, you know? And but then, yeah, I think women need stories more than men do, you know? We don't need really
a
plot.
You can say that, but I swear, no, at least half of my fan base... And as with the story-driven material, it's
I guess
men.
You're right, because they have a lot of story. I mean, a lot of movies with storylines, right? I mean, they like parody real movies and stuff like that. So I guess people do demand a storyline, right?
It just depends on what you're in the mood for. If you really are just horny and you need a release, and the best thing to do is to put on a gonzo film, which we talked about last week, gonzo meaning all sex,
right?
And just jerk off to it. Just masturbate. Just have a good time. Just get lost in it. But both men and women need to have their minds activated too, and find a lot of pleasure getting lost in a story.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, I need to try that. And it makes sense, because like I told you, when I was a kid, that was the only sex I could think about.
The books.
Yeah, it's the books and stuff, and it would let your imagination run wild, you know. So I totally get that, you know. I get it. So I guess you consume it differently. I mean, if you're going to watch porn with a story, you're going to sit back and watch, maybe have a woman with you.
You have to commit to it, especially my movies, because the last three movies I've made are blockbusters. Babysitting the Baumgartners is a four-hour movie. Fort, the first X-rated cooking show, is 4.5. And the upcoming Adventures with the Baumgartners is 5 hours.
Wow.
So you have to commit.
And, yeah, you do.
And see it as a full experience that you have to make time for.
Right. And they create all these stories, I mean, about like taboo things, right? Like my stepmother, my grandson, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's mind-boggling what people want to see, you know. And but I guess it's all fantasies that people want to actually
fantasies,
see.
It's all fantasies, but like I was saying,
just like real movies too, you know, like mainstream movies. It's also like fantasy,
right?
You know,
I hate when mainstream takes credit for doing something daring when the porn industry has been doing it for decades.
I know,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, yeah, and so I wanted to bring this up. This is a story I saw this morning about sextortion. You know what that is?
Tell me.
Okay, what it is that, and they're saying it's very common, but this is when if someone can use your personal information that they use by illicit means, okay, like illegal. So let's say they can, for example, they can hack into your computer. Mm-hmm. Okay, now a hacker gets into your computer, they can operate your camera, your microphone, and everything on the laptop. So that's why, first of all, cover your cameras when you don't use them with tape or something. That's the first thing. Second is, so what happened is you get tricked into downloading some malware or something, right?
Right.
By email or whatever. You click on that, it gives the guy, the hacker, direct access to you. So then they start saying they can pose as your boyfriend, as anything, send me some pictures. So you send them pictures, and then they extort you by saying, I'll release this if you don't send me more. So they do this to teenage girls and to women and stuff, and it's become like a big deal.
That's a giant bed of lawsuits waiting to happen, because those motherfuckers are going to get sued.
Right, and this guy was actually sent to 6 years in prison.
Oh, yeah, as he should. More.
230 victims.
And should never be allowed to touch a computer again.
Right. 44 of them were under the age of 18. So they're saying it's a new form of sexual assault.
Oh, yeah. That's all he got was 6.5 years?
Yeah, right?
What a fucking... Who was that judge?
I know. I don't know, man. But for someone who... let's put it this way. He never really touched them, you know.
So it doesn't matter. That's invasion of privacy.
It is. It is. But it's more than that. I mean, it's extortion,
completely.
Right.
Blackmail.
Yeah. Yeah, castrate the motherfucker.
Just keep them away from a computer. They should never be allowed to touch a computer.
They'll find other ways to do it, to invade people. But we talk about invasion of privacy. I guess the British royals are seeking $1.6 million over topless Kate photos. So apparently, you know, and you ask, when was she ever topless? But that's the thing. I don't know what it is about those Europeans, the celebrities and everything.
Well, they go topless.
They go
on
to
the
their
beach.
Villas and, and then they just lay out naked.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you're the royals. Why
that's
would you do this,
for
right?
A million years. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's going to be paparazzi. With like telescopes.
There always has been. National Enquirer has built an entire business.
Based on that, right?
Has built an empire on topless beach photos of celebrities.
Right. So, so now French magazine is releasing this. And so I guess, the royals are pretty pissed at this. And
they should be, but there
but if you're Kate, don't sunbathe naked.
Right.
What's the point?
Well, there are cameras everywhere.
Right.
And paparazzi pictures of nude celebrities is nothing new. And it's the fact that they're not even, everywhere. There are cameras on every street corner, there are cameras on every building, there are cameras in every citizen's hand.
So let's say they were at some retreat and there were no cameras or anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what you have to ask yourself is this: why do I need to be topless,
right?
I mean, I've seen women that went through their whole lives without sunbathing.
Well, get your tan on at a tanning salon,
right,
but then save, because the nipples burn really easily.
I can imagine, and boobs are pretty white too, because they're covered most of the time. So that you would burn, but. I still don't get it.
Kate getting all frisky on the
beach.
Right,
I mean, what is this? And they were not even on the beach. I think they were at the villa or something,
Yeah, I just think that when you're at her status,
right,
you need to be thinking a little differently and cover up.
And, when the question comes, is that an invasion of privacy? I don't think it is. I think the moment you go outside.
In public.
The moment you go outside
absolutely.
Your house, then you're in public.
Yeah, you're in public.
Think about it. When you go on your balcony or something,
right?
You're not going to get naked there. It's your own apartment, but you're not going to get naked on
there.
But
you might want to try to have sex out there.
Well, yeah, but then... so then the question is, though, is that like public, display of nudity?
Yeah,
which
it is.
So that's what I'm saying. The moment you go outside...
Right.
You're not. There's no privacy, and I think that's the way
the law
works.
You take your chances.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
We all do.
Right.
But she might be a little naive.
Yeah, I know.
And thinking that she's
they are naive, but what I don't understand is why people ever allow anybody to take pictures of them nude. Because a lot of people
besides
porn
stars, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Because normal people, ordinary people do this, and then their pictures get sent to everybody or put online and all this stuff. It's like, why do you even do it? Or like sex videos and stuff,
Because
if you don't want it posted, don't ever do it.
Right. But, just because you take them doesn't mean that you've signed a waiver saying
no,
that
I know,
agree
but
for the
don't
world
make it. But that's what I'm saying. Right. I mean, let's say a disgruntled or a pissed boyfriend does that.
Oh,
right?
But that is a no. That's a dead end situation because those lawsuits are real.
A lawsuit or not, your pictures are going to be out there. So what I'm saying is, just don't do it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you can stop everybody from taking pictures.
No,
bedroom.
I'm not saying you can stop them, but if everybody stops themselves, it would be okay. And if not, then be prepared for the consequences. I'm not sending dick pics to anybody. Nobody needs to know.
I think one of the coolest things about Madonna when she made her sex book in the 80s was that she basically just took all of the all the wind out of the sails of right. paparazzi and invaders, for you know, photography invaders, privacy invaders, because she said, here it is.
Yeah,
here it all is.
Yeah.
Here's my entire body. And these are pornographic pictures of me and fully explicit and... Yeah, have
that
at
was
it,
a
people.
Revolutionary
$100 book a book when it came out.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, we're totally out of time. Thank you to Bevan Monkfoot for calling in. And check out Peach. It's at discoverpeach.com. Kay, where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Kay Brandt. You can also find me on Instagram, Kay.Brandt, and Twitter, at Jewelbox Films. That's JewelboxFilms.
Sounds good. And if you can, I would imagine if people just Google your name, you'll probably come up, right?
I sure will.
There you go. That's it, I guess. Kay, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me, and lots of love to Tori.
You're a friend of the show. You're welcome back anytime. All right.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, have a good day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.